In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Backyard Brawl this weekend. Steelers Broncos on Sunday. Interesting practice report to come out of Steelersville yesterday. And joining us now to get into it is our sports director, our friend, a tremendous human being. He is Jeff Hathorne. Good morning to you, Jeff. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Yeah. Busy weekend. Fun weekend. Man, the North Shore is going to be nuts on Saturday, which is great.
Yes, it is. You got the Pirate game earlier on, and then you got the Backyard Brawl, and I'm guessing one way or another, there'll be many people partying on the North Shore following the game. So we'll get into both things with you, Jeff, but I see the practice report yesterday for the Steelers. I've seen some video that came out of practice. Mike Tomlin, I thought at the press conference he said that Dan Moore Jr. would be limited at the early portion of the week. Well, he doesn't practice at all yesterday, and that was listed on the report, so what do we make of all that? And what I understand, Jeff, is we saw Mr. Broderick Jones, video showed me, at left tackle.
Yeah, you saw Broderick Jones on the left side and Troy Fautanu on the right. It's, you know, how many people waited for that moment where you saw, and not just on a rep or two at camp, but you saw your two first-round picks out there at the same time. And, man, Fautanu was, he was pumped. He said being on that sideline on Sunday has him really geeked up to get into a game. And he was moving well. He says he has no issues with the knee. And, yeah, that offensive line looked – I mean, when you think about just the change they've had in a couple of weeks, you know, you lose Herbig. Sam Mallow is probably still out. If Dan Moore is out, it's like a completely different line with the exception of James Daniels.
Jeff, obviously the quarterback situation, it seems like Justin Fields is going to get the start. A, do you get the sense that this Russ injury could linger longer than just a couple weeks? Because obviously it's been a period of time. And B, do you think as every week goes, the likelihood of Russ supplanting Justin Fields decreases?
So I'll answer B first. Yes. Obviously it depends on the success.
Right.
But if they're winning games, even if he's not all world, but they're winning games and they're building a chemistry and they seem to be moving towards something. Yes. As for the, I mean, here's the thing, and I'm not a doctor, but everything I hear over there is that when you have a calf, there is fear of a strained calf. There is fear of Achilles. And if you push that too quickly or too much or don't give it enough rest, which is why they gave him the rest they did in camp, there is concern that an Achilles injury would happen, which would probably take out the rest of the season. So, yeah, I mean, who knows? He might go out there, and I think what we're going to see, and as much as a veteran he is, how can he really know his body and know what's best? Because you know he wants to play in Denver. Whatever he tells us later today, you know deep down inside he wants to stick it to Sean Payton. We'll see how mobile he is, but, yeah, it does seem like it's going to be Justin's team. And if he performs, here is his opportunity to get a starting gig again.
Jeff, I think Jalen Warren, off the top of my head, played 29 snaps, but statistically really didn't have much, if at all, an impact on the game. Do you think that that was more a function of he's not all the way back healthy? Or is this the way Arthur Smith's going to do it, rely heavily on Najee Harris and mix in some Cordarrelle Patterson?
Well, I think Patterson took some of those reps, but I think that was the plan for this week anyhow, is that, you know, you're coming off a hamstring injury. He was good enough to play, but they wanted to – I don't know if you could ever ease Jalen Warren into anything because of the way he plays, but I think they wanted to manage his snap count for this week. But – that being said, they do like Patterson. And if they feel like Patterson is having some success, he could take snaps from either of those two. And I would also say, man, Najee ran hard. I thought he had some good, tough runs in that game. He was bringing energy. You know, like when his helmet came off, he was all about being into that game. Not that he hasn't at other times, but I think that was, you know, a good game for him. And I think that also led to the number of carries he had.
Jeff, flipping things over to the University of Pittsburgh. Big football game this weekend. I can't imagine, and you've covered the team for a long time, a more stark contrast from one year to the next in terms of the way they want to play football. Have you seen anything quite like it?
I mean, when Rich Rod came to West Virginia, there was obviously a switch, but not quite like this. I think here's what I think is different this year for Pitt offensively, more than anything. To put it in a West Virginia term, they have a Noel Devine. That's what I think the difference is. They've got that guy that can take it to the house. As much as there's the eye candy of everything that's going on and the speed they play with, they've got a game breaker. And when you have a game breaker, whether it's Izzy, Jordan Addison, when we've seen it over the years, that makes that offense completely different. And they've got a game breaker. And that's what I'm excited. Now let's see it against another defense, maybe another step up in defense, a different scheme. And this is, and you know, he's been pumped up for this. He's never really played in a rivalry game. He's going to get a full dose of it on Saturday.
I'm going to puke.
Jeff, I want to ask you this as a somewhat of an objective onlooker. You don't have you're heavily involved in Pitt broadcasting. Obviously, we appreciate all that you do, but you have allegiances that we won't speak of. But as you watch of Pitt, Penn State, and Pitt, West Virginia, Joe Starkey asked me this question: How do you rank those rivalries, having been associated with both as a broadcaster in this town for decades?
I tell this story. When I was a kid, my neighbor took me to a Penn State game, and until I was in high school, I thought the S word was spelled with two T's. So there was that time where that rivalry was it. It was Pitt, Penn State. People lived it. That being said, Pitt, West Virginia, the proximity, the energy, the fact that I think West Virginia thinks Pitt looks down their nose at them. I love this rivalry. I'd love to see all three. But if you don't have Penn State anymore and that never comes back, I think Pitt, West Virginia fills that slot nicely.
I think I agree. And the one thing I told Joe was, what makes it better for me is it bleeds on the hardwood on basketball too. I mean, it is deep there as well. And you don't have that with Pitt, Penn State.
That's a really good point.
And it does, I mean, in everything. Wrestling, I mean, you've seen it in different sports.
Soccer, everything. Baseball.
Yeah. And you see it all over the place. You never know what the college landscape is going to be. I would hope that they would be in a conference again, because I think that's what got Pitt, West Virginia, you know, really going. When you're in a conference and you're battling for the same thing, that takes a rivalry, I think, up another step.
Agreed.
I'd love them to play at the end of the year too, but it's just good that they're playing again.
Beggars can't be choosers in this world right now.
That's exactly right. Just happy it's back. Jeff, thank you for your time.
And here's what's cool, guys. I think both schools are in to this series continuing in the future.
No doubt about it. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it, buddy. And we'll be talking on Tuesday about a whole heck of a lot, my man.
I'll see you both on Saturday.
Let's go. We'll see you Saturday. Jeff Hathorn, our sports director.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.